And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, December 7th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are here to break down a three-game NBA slate. Not ideal. And we are brought to you by No House Advantage. Three games today, 13 games tomorrow, and three again on Thursday. Shout out to the NBA schedule makers for doing an absolutely terrible job this week, because that is annoying. But we're here either way. The prize pools are still the same, or at least I assume they're still the same. So we're playing one way or the other. We'll dig in a little bit deeper on some of these games because we will have a lot to talk about. Before we do any of that stuff, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Adam, how was your Monday?
Football was about as bad as it could possibly get. Basketball was neutral and hockey went pretty well. So depends on the sport.
Okay. Yeah, basketball, not ideal for me. Not so much at all. Didn't need the Joel Embiid game with that much Nikola Jokic. Cat was good. Jokic, great game on paper. It's like 17, 13, and 12 or something stupid. They were plus 8 or 9 while he was on the floor. They got waxed when he wasn't. I'm a little nervous about him moving forward. Like, Jokic. Is he just running out of enough real bodies to be able to carry them?
From a fantasy standpoint?
It's sort of like in general too. Like, I wonder if he's going to get so much focus that like his scoring just can't get there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's still just so good at everything. Like, I'm not worried about his fantasy production. I think the Nuggets are in trouble if they don't get healthy, but that
I'm a little worried about his fantasy production. Just because of the way that you have to guard a big man like that, where they can just sort of take the ball out of his hands. And like, I could see his shot attempts going down with all of these injuries.
We have a pretty large sample of this and it not happening.
We have a pretty large sample of every single legitimate player on the team getting hurt. I mean, it's no Murray, no Porter, no, like we're starting to just lop off too many dudes.
Yeah. There's a lot of minutes that those guys have not been on the floor with Jokic.
That's fair. I don't know. When I look at it, and it's just like Facundo Campazzo, Devon Reed. 766
minutes without those guys since last year.
That's fair.
1,548 possessions.
I don't know. Something just feels different. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I mean, I obviously played the shit out of him yesterday, so it's not like I wasn't there for it.
But yeah, I mean, the only issue with Jokic is the opportunity cost.
That's fair. Which, at center on FanDuel, is a little bit different too. So either I'm just venting that he was meaningless for me yesterday, even though he still had a triple-double, which stings a bit. Alrighty, we have three games on this slate. One kicks off at 7:30, one kicks off at 8:30, the other kicks off at 10. We have pretty sizable questions across all three games, so we're going to have a lot to talk about. I do want to hit you guys with our schedule for the day. At 11 a.m., we have the NFL Strategy Show. We've got the NHL Strategy Show at 2. We've got the No House Advantage NBA Show at 3. Adam will then be back for the deeper dive at 5:30. And then we'll have the Live Before Lock Show at 6:30. NBA player rankings are free today. NHL player rankings are free today. Adam, are you coming back with the injury show again today?
Yeah, Greg and I will have that out around 2:30.
Awesome. There you go. New piece of content for you guys, taking a look at any of the main injuries that exist for the slate. I will look at that later, or like in the early afternoon, try to get a better idea after main injury reports and shoot arounds come in, see where everybody stands, what you need to know based on those injuries. But we've got three games to start. We're kicking it off. If you're ready, Brooklyn Nets, Dallas Mavericks. How you feeling about this one, Adam?
How do I feel about it?
It's a fun game. No, you get Harden, Durant, potentially Luka, potentially Kristaps Porzingis, although I think Porzingis is in fact probable for this one, had been out for a bit. Luka questionable, but a lot of star power in this one. It's fun to see these two teams get together.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch, I guess.
I'm pro this game because I don't want to watch Knicks, Spurs, and Celtics, Lakers at 10 o'clock at night. Doesn't seem like the one that's going to keep my attention. So I'm hitching my wagon on watching like a fun Stars game today to start it off.
I mean, I think all three games actually seem pretty appealing.
Are you talking from like a DFS standpoint?
No. I mean, Spurs, Knicks less so than the other two, but
okay.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I like some guys on the Knicks. I like DeJounte Murray. Like, it's still San Antonio plays relatively fast. It's still like it should be a decent game. The other two have, you know, star power, obviously.
You're a bit more excited about Spurs Knicks than I am.
I guess I just mean more like
I say that as a guy wearing a Knicks shirt.
I guess I mean it's more like it's not must see TV, but it should at least like be a good game. It should be enjoyable to watch. Like, I'm gonna tune in and watch. If I'm just picking a game to watch, I'm gonna pick either the Luka Harden Durant game or the LeBron Davis Tatum game before the Murray, whoever the hell plays for the Knicks game.
That's gonna be a key point of our show today. Who will be playing for the Knicks? That is an actual question that matters for today. So without further ado, let's do this. The Brooklyn Nets side of this bad boy. 2.5-point favorites in Dallas, 215 total. I grabbed all these lines when I first woke up. All three lines were 2.5 points at that moment. So that's always good to see. James Harden, 10-6 on FanDuel, 10-8 on DraftKings. Sorry, 10-7 on DraftKings. Kevin Durant is 10-8 across both sites. Do you have a preference between the two?
Starting to lean Harden a little bit more just with the way that he's been playing recently. I still don't think it's a big gap at all. Clearly, the answer really is probably whichever just fits into your lineup better, whether it's because they're a little bit lower owned or you need that position. But yeah. If you know, everything is equal, then I'm leaning a little bit more toward Harden just because you've seen him, the usage rate go up a bit. He's getting to the line more, seems to have figured out kind of how to play basketball again, as we expected. So everything's really close between them, but I give the slight edge to Harden.
Are either one of them the best play on Brooklyn today?
It's probably Aldridge.
Yeah, I agree. He's got power forward eligibility on FanDuel as well at 5,600, which makes it really difficult to get away from. Minutes are just there now. LaMarcus Aldridge is just officially playing 30 minutes a game or more. Over these last three games, Aldridge has played 32.5, 34.5, 32. Going to be really difficult to dodge on a three-game slate. Looks fantastic for Brooklyn, especially against Dallas. Great matchup, too. Not that that like is something that changes much for me personally, but if I'm going to get a lot of someone, I'd like to also think it's in a good spot.
Yeah, and the last game for him was actually really kind of like reassuring for me, because I was a little bit quicker to jump on Aldridge playing a lot of minutes than some other people were, but I still like wasn't that comfortable with it. Like, I was just expecting to get burned sooner than later. But the last game on a back-to-back with him playing 32.5 minutes again, I thought was a really good sign that they really do just intend on playing him as a starter. The only concern I really have for him is in his five starts, he has only averaged 0.86 DraftKings points per minute. It makes sense, you know, that the usage rate's down a bit, the rebounding's not been great, but it's still an 18.7% usage rate, 10.6% rebounding percentage. For the season, he's averaged 1.07 DraftKings points per minute overall. In his total minutes alongside Harden and Durant, he's averaged 1 DraftKings point per minute. The big difference here between his production in 242 total minutes alongside those guys and his production as a starter is the rebounding, 14.9% total rebounding percentage with them on the floor this year, only about 10.5% as a starter. So I guess it's a three-game slate. I have time to try and find it now. I guess I'm interested to see if the rebound chances have really changed or if he's just running bad. Because I know I'd mentioned the other day that it seemed like Harden was sort of just taking rebounds away from him. So that's something that I'd be kind of interested in if I can pull it up relatively quickly.
Take your time. We have plenty of time to do that right now. Aldridge is pulling the most ownership on Brooklyn, 47% on FanDuel, which I think is actually spot on, 32% on DraftKings, which I would say is also pretty much spot on. I don't really have much else to say with regards to Aldridge, at least for this particular slate on a three gamer. There's no really getting away from it. The problem really lies for everybody else from Brooklyn, whether it's Patty Mills, who I think is basically properly owned across both sites. Then we start getting into the weird questions of how many minutes does James Johnson play coming off of the injury? Is it a DeAndre Bembry day? Is Bruce Brown going to play 26 minutes like he did with James Johnson out? Or does he go back to the 10-ish minutes that he played in the three games prior to that one? Do we see more playing time for someone like Paul Millsap? I doubt it, but you never know. I'm nervous about the rest of Brooklyn. Have you found anything additionally for LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, so he's averaged In the five games he started, or yeah, so since November 24th, there's no perfect way to do this because I can't account for rebound chances with Harden and Durant on the floor prior to him starting. The best way I think to do it is to just take rebound chances per 36 since he became a starter on the 24th, and then rebound chances per 36 prior to that, and just kind of, you know, see what it looks like. So he's averaged 14.1 rebound chances per 36 since November 24th. Prior to that, he's averaged 17. So he's averaging three fewer rebound chances per 36. But keep in mind that a lot of those minutes were not with both guys on the floor. So like, it's still hard to say exactly how much we should expect it to drop off going forward. I think it's reasonable to expect his rebounding numbers to be down as a starter, but it's still kind of up in the air how much.
What else are you doing with the rest of this team? Like, I don't think we have too much to say about Patty Mills at this point. He's going to play 34 minutes. He's priced basically right where he should be. And you just kind of have to have some of him, but he's not like all that interesting of a play.
Sorry, I was responding. Jason Gunn in chat said it's going to start fading players with tailbone injuries, I guess because of Jimmy Butler. But it was kind of funny because we also had Kat go absolutely nuts last night with the same injury. Far as the rest of the Nets go, I'm with you. It's just really difficult to prioritize or feel really confident in how this rotation is going to look. Patty Mills, I think, probably has the most stable minutes out of the other guys, but he's also 4,800, so priced about where he should be. Bembry's minutes go, you know, anywhere from like 24 to 34, kind of depending on how the game's going. He's priced up enough where I'm not really interested in getting there. If I'm going to take shots at the secondary Nets pieces, I think it's going to be at the cheapest guys I can get to. So Cam Thomas at 3,300, James Johnson at 3,200. Those are guys that, you know, at least if they happen to find their way on the floor for 24 minutes for one reason or another, they're likely to have some success. It's just a little bit easier for them to give you a score that really helps than it is for somebody that's already priced up to almost 5K.
What's your expectation on Bruce Brown? My assumption is that he is not playing 20 minutes here, that this is like a 10 to 14 minute rotation. That appears to be where he is, other than this most recent game where James Johnson was out. And I think that's why we saw Bruce Brown get his minutes again.
Yeah, I agree with that. And even in that game, he picked up like 8 minutes at the end of the game, closing over DeAndre Bembry. So that's not even something that necessarily like has to happen or happens all that often. So I'm pretty comfortable saying like 18-ish minutes for Brown.
Okay, perfect. I don't really have anything else here. We don't really have anything to wait on for Brooklyn. To me, they're starting to stabilize. Like they're starting to not be as weird as they were at the beginning of the season. I think Nash is starting to figure out how he wants to manage this team.
Yeah,
on the Dallas side. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
On the Dallas side, however, we got a questionable tag on Luka Doncic. We've got a questionable tag on Tim Hardaway. Still no Willie Cauley-Stein. I have Luka and Hardaway in for right now. There's not really any benefit in trying to figure this out otherwise. I love Luka today. If he is in, I'm nervous about his injury for sure. He's been 1.47 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days. He's 10,300, 10.9 on DraftKings, but you get the point guard, small forward eligibility. So you could roster him in five different spots. I think Luka is my preferred pay-up option of the day. I want to know where you land.
I think that's where I'm at as well. I think he's ahead of the Lakers guys.
Yeah.
I think he's probably behind the Brooklyn guys, although it's close, but I would lean Harden and Durant.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's talk that through. Why?
Wait, isn't that what you said?
No, I'm team Luka across the board here.
Oh, I thought you said he was third.
No. First.
Third for me. I heard third.
Okay.
I think it's very close. I just think the other two look a little bit better.
Okay.
By like a point.
It's okay. Not. Yeah. So I've got Luka at 50. If we're going to talk DraftKings, I think that's the easiest comp for you right now. 57 for Luka. You have it by a point. I'm not in the ballpark. Let's have a conversation because we have enough time to do this. I have Luka Doncic at 57 fantasy points on DraftKings. I have James Harden at 50.5. Tell me how wrong I am.
Hang on. I'm adjusting stuff because I was just looking at baselines. I haven't actually done my projections yet.
This is the process show round two, everybody. I did it solo, but now we get Adam doing his.
I have Luka at 52.4 on DraftKings.
Okay.
Now I need to go back and do the Nets, though. Which?
How many minutes?
36.
Okay.
The Nets are going to take a minute, though, so I don't know. Like,
that's fine. We have plenty of – I mean, people want to know, like, where you actually stand here for the beginning of the day. So we have 43 minutes to get through three games at this point. Take your sweet time. We got nowhere to be, man. I mean, you do. You probably just want to be done, but it's not essential. Let me add DraftKings back in here. Where are you hiding, DK? Where's fantasy? There it is. Why have I not had that in there the entire time? When I say in there, I mean into Wowie. I didn't have the DraftKings points per minute. So Luka this season, 1.46 DraftKings points per minute. I have him right now at 1.59. That seems a little high. Now, that is a bit of a pace up spot for Dallas, I believe.
So yeah, I am going to end up with Luka ahead.
Okay. Well, that's making me feel a little bit better because with the gap that I had, Luka at 57, Harden at 50.5, I was like, that was a pretty big chasm for us that I wanted to like talk ourselves into. So
yeah, I definitely are getting the same sort of gap. But...
okay. Well, I mean, part of it for me is I'm probably adjusting pretty aggressively for pace. Dallas, 26th fastest team in the league this year. Brooklyn is 12th. So Brooklyn's losing out quite a bit from a pace perspective. Dallas is gaining quite a bit from a pace perspective. I think that is probably my biggest driver to create that gap.
I have it 52.5 Luka, 49.5 Harden, 48.5 Durant.
Okay. So I am heavier on Luka. I have Harden at 50.5, Durant at 48.5. So we're talking about basically the same Harden Durant projections. I'm just heavier on Luka.
Yeah.
I could live with that. I feel a little bit better now than when you were like, it's a point.
Yeah. I think the baseline minutes were too low on Luka.
Gotcha. All right. That works for me. So, I don't think we have much else to add. Are you worried? Like, you're not changing anything for the ankle, correct? He's just, if Luka is playing, you're projecting Luka as normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about the other stud for Dallas. Kristaps Porzingis, 8,500 on FanDuel, power forward center, 7,600 on DraftKings, for some reason, just power forward. 28% owned. That's the highest mark on DraftKings for Dallas, but I think I like him a little bit more than that. I think Porzingis looks really good in this spot.
Yeah, I think he looks good as well. 7,600 is just a pretty favorable price tag. Not a bad fantasy producer at all. You know, we know that. I would assume he's going to play 30, 32 minutes somewhere in there. So unless we get news that he's just going back to being really limited, I think he looks very good.
Yeah, I have a big focus. He was my number one contender on the slate. Spoiler alert to everybody watching DraftKings.
1.2 DraftKings points per minute in the 12 games he's played with Doncic this year. 27.5% usage rate, 14% rebounding percentage. Just looks really good at this price tag.
All righty. The problem then lies in what else you have to do at Dallas. Now, this first piece, not a problem. Jalen Brunson is 5,300 on FanDuel, 5,200 on DraftKings. He's about 25 to 35% owned, depending on which site we're seeing. Brunson back in the starting lineup for this most recent game. Now, that was without Luka and Porzingis, so don't know if that's going to change anything moving forward, but I got Brunson in for 29 minutes. I think it's reasonable that he could play upwards of 32 or 33 in a competitive game, but at 29 minutes, I still really like him.
Yeah, I expect him to play around 28 minutes or so, but could potentially pick up a couple more. It's a situation where he projects like as low as he possibly can, assuming that Hardaway and Porzingis and Luka are in. But at 5,200, that's still solid. He's relatively likely to be in the closing lineup. We've seen that be the case a lot this year, despite what someone in YouTube chat that watches the games tried to tell me the other day. But he's typically been in the closing lineups, or at least in a good percentage of them. So 5,200, if he happens to get 28 to 30 minutes, he's still going to look like a good value.
Then we have the other option that's a value play for Dallas today. How are you feeling about Dorian Finney-Smith 23% owned. Small forward, power forward eligibility, 4,300.
Why is he that popular?
Because he's 4,300.
Yeah, but he also, I mean, we're assuming Porzingis and Luka are back.
FYI, I don't disagree with the ownership. I understand why it's happening based on crunches that I've run so far.
It makes, like, no sense to me.
Okay.
Like, unless I'm missing something. We're assuming everyone's in, right?
Yeah. I gave him 31 minutes. Obviously not a great per minute rate. I got him at 23 fantasy points. Got to pay down somewhere. There aren't a lot of places to grab cheap minutes today.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. I'm at 21.
You're going to run a crunch and see it and just be like, oh, this sucks.
I mean, I have him at 21 DraftKings points.
Okay. It's
you'll fine. Get less.
Yeah.
He's at 0.71 DraftKings points per minute and 30.9 minutes per game this year with Luka and Porzingis.
Yeah, it's I have no doubt about him being bad in this spot. However, there's a very lack of value. But there are options on this team that I would be interested in grabbing that aren't him, that aren't pulling that ownership. What are your thoughts on $3,100 Reggie Bullock, shooting guard, small forward eligible, 9.7% owned on DraftKings right now?
I wish the ownership were a little bit lower, but again, you know, it's only a three-game slate, I guess. I don't have any level of confidence in him, but that is a spot where if you're going to get a $1,200 discount and an ownership discount off Finney Smith, I think you can look there in tournaments, not with a lot of confidence, but at least as a viable pivot.
Yeah, that's sort of how I'm seeing it as well. Similar story, like maybe not similar story, but $5,500 Tim Hardaway has 4% ownership. I'm very intrigued to see where that ends up. I mean, that's a Q tag thing too, probably at least a little bit, but underowned if he comes in at 4. And then we've got Maxey, 4,400, got power forward center eligibility, 16% owned. That feels a little high to me. He's played 31 and 32 minutes these past two games, but that is without Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think that he maintains those minutes moving forward. He could. I just don't think that he will.
Yeah, I'm with you. If the ownership were a little bit lower, I would like getting him over Finney Smith. If they're going to be pretty close, I would lean Finney Smith just because I think the minutes are a little bit more, you know, solidified. The Hardaway piece is interesting to me because if he does end up playing and his ownership doesn't really move much, him coming off the bench does open up a little bit more usage for him. He's still likely to be in the closing lineup, at least if he's playing well, which is really all we care about in DFS. So that is a spot where, you know, again, not that I'm expecting Hardaway to have a big game because normally he's not going to, but that is a player at 5,500 that if you're getting him at virtually no ownership on a three-game slate becomes really interesting.
Anything else you're seeing here for Dallas that stands out to you? Any thoughts from like a group's perspective that you would want to be doing today for Dallas?
Yeah, this team's kind of messy groups wise, but I think that they're necessary. Trying to think through the closing lineups, right? You know, Luke, you're outside of anything really weird happening. Luka's in there. Porzingis is in there.
Dorian Finney-Smith is in there on a day like today against the Nets.
Yeah, I was going to say Finney-Smith is most likely in there.
He's guarding one of Harden or KD on every possession, basically.
Yeah, like the only way he's not in is if they're down and,
yeah,
you know, they're going like Luka, Porzingis, Brunson, Hardaway, Kleber or something.
Yeah.
But he's probably in there. It's tough, though, because like I don't want to say max one. You could say max one of Brunson, Hardaway, but I don't think that's really necessary, especially on a three-game slate. Yeah. If it were a bigger slate, maybe. I would probably say max one of like Kleba, Powell. Because like Kleba's not closing over Porzingis. If Kleba closes, it's in place of Powell.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Probably throw Powell's Bullock.
Not closing anything regardless.
Right. Yeah. I would throw Bullock in there too, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like a max one of Kleba, Powell, Bullock. Or you could just do a max two of Brunson, Hardaway, Bullock, but that's probably not even necessary to set. It's just tough with teams like this because it's not so much like one guy backing up someone else. It's they play different positions.
I mean, I don't even know if I would want to be including Bullock or Powell in groups on DraftKings at 3K or 3,100 on a three gamer too. Like,
yeah.
If they're scored 24 fantasy points, like that could be a good enough score to be a value piece in a high ranking lineup that has no tie whatsoever to anybody else.
Yeah, I just still think you're capping your ceiling.
Maybe.
Like if
Powell might be a little bit different than Bullock. Bullock with shooting guard, small forward, and the ability to move around at 3,100 is probably something that I'd be fine fitting in with any other sort of combination.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking like with Powell is if Kleba puts up a score at 4,400 that you need, that probably means Powell only played like, you know, 18 minutes or something. And if I know Powell's getting 18 minutes, I'd probably rather just take a shot on like one of the cheap Nets guys or something.
So are we looking more at like max two Porzingis, Kleber, Powell?
But like when is Porzingis not getting the minutes?
Well, what I'm saying is that if I have Kleber and Powell in a lineup, do I also want Porzingis?
No, but if you say max one, Kleber, Powell, it does the same thing.
Max two. Did I say max one?
No, no, no. You said max two, Porzingis, Kleber, Powell. But I'm saying if you just say max one, Kleber, Powell, it's still making it so you don't get all three.
Yeah, I guess the same thing basically, right?
Yeah, except for you're just not including. Like, I don't really want, unless Porzingis gets hurt, you're not getting closing lineups of Kleber and Powell ever.
True. So, I mean, I don't think we're ever getting Powell unless
I don't think you are really like, if he happens to play really well and for whatever reason they want him out there against Aldridge. Like,
that's fine.
That can at least in theory happen. They're never going to choose to play Kleba and Powell and not Porzingis.
Agreed. I really like being able to actually talk about some of these teams.
Yeah, this Dallas is always just tough for me to set rules because it's like there's a bunch of guys that I don't really want paired together, but that also at the end of the day, if they got into a lineup, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And you know, on a shorter slate, that becomes even more of a thing. You know, again, like the Brunson Hardaway piece. One, they could potentially cut into each other's minutes, but even bigger is playing with the second unit. It's most likely one of them gets hot and one of them loses out. But that's like really nitpicky for a three-game slate. So it's kind of just if I look at a lineup and it has Brunson Hardaway, I'm gonna be like, oh, this is annoying. I don't really like this, but what can I do about it?
Right. Anything else here for Dallas?
I don't think so. Just keep an eye on the starting lineup too, just because, you know, we are getting them healthy again. There is some non-zero chance that they switch the starting lineup again.
And keep an eye on it because Luka Doncic could just not play today. I mean, he is questionable. Yeah. He did practice yesterday, so I'm assuming he's playing. But if one of those guys end up out, changes the outlook of everything that we just said.
Yeah, and I assume Greg and I will talk about that on the show at 2:30, or the video, I should say. Yeah. Getting you know my hosting skills ready for the other video series that I'm gonna start doing.
There you go.
But yeah, so I mean assuming that the questionable guys that Luka and Porzingis start, just keep an eye on the Bullock versus Tim Hardaway Jr. piece and make sure that Powell is starting and that it's not Porzingis Kleba. But you know, obviously if Luka is out, then that changes everything. If Porzingis is out, that changes a lot.
No House Advantage, the presenting sponsor of this video. You can get $25 on your first deposit if you use the promo code AWESOMO when signing up. We're talking about peer-to-peer contests, and you're worried about player props. You don't have to worry about fantasy points. You don't have to worry about optimizers. We do optimize a bit for you. We have No House Advantage projections and optimal lineups already generated on awesomeo.com to help you out here. You can download the app in the App Store or go to nohouseadvantage.com to play. I'm going to hit Adam with one or two props from this first game, the Brooklyn-Dallas game, in fact, and we'll see where he stands. How about first one up? This one could be good. Bruce Brown, over under 8.5 points. Real points, that is.
Under.
Yeah. I got him at 4. They also have 9.5 points and assist, 15.5 points, rebounds and assist. I mean, I like all of them just clear across the board, but I think the points one feels the safest. So don't be afraid to take an under on that Bruce Brown prop. LaMarcus Aldridge, over under 4.5 rebounds.
What? Over?
Yeah. I currently have LaMarcus Aldridge projected for 8 rebounds. LaMarcus Aldridge should be your 10-point player prop today for the over.
That's lowest I could possibly get him would be like 5.7.
Yeah, it's...
And that's if I just use the decreased rebound rate as a starter and I give him 28 minutes, which is like the lowest projection you could give him.
Yeah, don't be afraid to grab hold of that bad boy as well. These are some of the... And you don't have to worry about these lines changing. What you, what I said right now, what you see at No House Advantage will be there all the way till the end of the slate. So lock those bad boys in. You're ranking them in a confidence interval. So you, you're going from 10 points to 1 point. LaMarcus Aldridge in the 10 spot there at the over 4.5 rebounds. You're going to have a hard time finding a better option. So make sure you're checking out No House Advantage, everybody. All righty. Buckle up, everybody, because Adam and I might be here till 11 o'clock just doing the Knicks. They are 2.5-point favorites in San Antonio, 212.5 total. And we got word yesterday that Tom Thibodeau may make changes to the starting lineup. Now, we're going to say right now, we don't know what those are, and it's not changing a damn thing that I'm doing right now because I would just be guessing, and where is that going to get me? So I'm basically treating the Knicks as just the same way that they've been over these past couple of days. We've got Julius Randle, Alec Burks, RJ Barrett, Derrick Rose, and Mitchell Robinson, all 20 to 25% owned on DraftKings. We also get Evan Fournier at around 17%. Obi Toppin is at 14% for reasons that I don't totally understand. Does anybody immediately stand out to you positively for the Knicks?
No. No, I mean, I think it's just a situation where most of them are priced about where I think that they should be.
I agree. And that's like, that's how my sim odds looked. That's how this ownership looks. It is just this flat casted net of 20-ish percent owned dudes. And I don't know which one I want more. Like on FanDuel, it's a little different. You get Randle 8,700. The price is a little bit more appealing. You know, the price is a little bit better on Alec Burks. It's a little bit, it's the same on RJ Barrett, but he also gets extra eligibility. But it's sort of the same story on FanDuel, just super duper flat ownership. So the question then I think becomes more like a Dallas question. And I don't know how much we could even dig into it right now, but what is your approach to grouping players for the Knicks? Because that's really what matters. They can close with a lot of options.
Yeah, this was a lot easier before the rotation change, before Kemba was booted.
Yeah, not the one that's going to do today.
What'd you say?
Not the one that's going to happen today.
Right, yeah. This, yeah, because you used to have 10 guys and basically everyone had a direct backup. Now you have Burks playing multiple positions. So the last competitive game to the end that the Knicks played was 2 games ago against Chicago. So I'm going to use that one to try and make decisions. But even there, you know, it's basically like, obviously you don't want more than Robinson, more than one of the centers. So Robinson, Gibson, Noel.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. I don't want more than one of Randle or Toppin. You could, especially on a 3-game slate, you could say max two of Randle, Toppin, and all the centers.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Toppin, small forward, power forward, 3,100. That price opens it up a little bit.
Yeah, and like there's a non-zero chance that you just get, for one reason or another, Randle, Toppin minutes, but it's unlikely. But
I don't love that on against the Spurs if you're gonna have Pirtle at the five.
What'd you say?
I don't love the idea. Yeah. Like I don't expect a Randle at the five a lot in this particular matchup.
Yeah, and I don't expect it with the centers healthy either. Right. But if you wanted to, just with it being a 3-game slate, if you wanted to like relax the rules a little bit, you could do a max two. But you also could just do max one Randle and Toppin. So Burks. Oh, Barrett was out this game. I was looking at it, trying to figure out what was wrong. Yeah, and then Barrett came back the last game. So I think I probably don't want more than, I'll probably do a max two of Fournier, Quickly, Barrett, because I think Burks is typically going to close. Randall's closing, and I assume one of the centers is going to close. So that leaves two spots. If you disagree on Burks, you know, you could mix him in too, but
which would be a reasonable stance to take too, I think.
Yeah, it's just from what we've seen, it seems like Burks is kind of a priority. Plus, he can play multiple positions. Like, there's different ways for them to go with Burks out there. Probably, like, I think I would say, like, max two Burks, Quickly, Rose, and then max two Randle, Quickly, Fournier, or not Randle, Barrett, Quickly, Fournier.
I think all that makes sense. It's a mess. Yeah, and this is our assumption now, not the assumption that we're going to have to make at 6:45 or 7 o'clock when we get a news that the starting lineup is different.
Right, exactly. I don't even have a good guess of what the starting lineup change is going to be. Like, it could be Rose over Fournier. It could be Quickly over Barrett or Fournier. But I don't really have a good guess at it.
I don't have a clue what direction they're going to, other than the fact that you clearly have to play a lot of the Knicks. You're basically playing at least a little bit of every Knick, at least on DraftKings. On FanDuel, I don't get the sense that Obi Toppin is someone I want to get a lot of, but it's a 3-game slate, so there's clearly a path there. And it's just, you're just getting different combinations of 2 to 3 dudes, and there's no priorities.
I do think that, so I guess the best thing I could say about the potential starting lineup change now, having no idea what it possibly is if one of these normal bench guys moves into the starting lineup, feel free to bump their minutes quite a bit. Like, if Derrick Rose starts over Fournier, I think you can just take that as a signal that Derrick Rose is playing a lot of minutes and Fournier is officially kind of just being set aside. Same, if Quickly starts in place of Fournier. So that's kind of the most useful thing I can probably say is if they change the starting lineup, I'm not viewing it as just a nominal thing where they're still going to basically split minutes. I'm viewing it as this guy was already closing a lot. Now we're just going to have him start as well.
All righty. Anything else for the Knicks?
No.
San Antonio. We do have one piece of news that we have to wait on here. I don't expect Devin Vassell to play. We don't even know his status as of right now, since they're on the back-to-back, but hasn't been great for him lately. Didn't play the front end. I'm not anticipating him playing here. So this is sort of similar. We've got Murray, White, Keldon Johnson, Lonnie Walker, all 20 to 25% owned. Jakob Poeltl is 35% owned on DraftKings right now at 5,900. He's also heavily owned on FanDuel. I'm liking Keldon Johnson quite a bit on FanDuel, but he is also 40% owned. How are you managing this Spurs team that also looks like they're casting a very wide net across most of the starters? Luckily, there's a decent chunk of bench that you don't have to play.
Yeah, that is that is true. So not the best matchup for them either, but I think they're one of the less appealing teams on the slate. The thing that stands out, though, is that DeJounte Murray's salary dropped quite a bit. The guys at the top, Luka, Harden, Durant, not quite as expensive as we'd seen them recently. But DraftKings also did a good job of dropping the price on DeJounte Murray as well. Because if you make Luka, Durant, Harden 10-7 to 10-9, you can't leave Murray at 10-4. It doesn't work. So they did a good job dropping him to 9,500. Makes him still look like a pretty solid option. Jakob Poeltl at 5,900 still looks good. The Knicks have been a solid defensive team, at least in the paint, but 5,900 for a center that averages a fantasy point per minute and is likely to play 30 to 32 minutes looks reasonable. From an ownership standpoint, we have 32% going to Aldridge. We have 35% going to Poeltl. So I don't see any real edge there in terms of using ownership to choose one over the other, but that is something to pay attention to going forward. If that were to change, I don't think there should be a big gap between the two in ownership. So those two look the most appealing to me. Keldon Johnson looks fine. He's likely to play low to mid 30s. Derek White looks fine. He only played 26 minutes last night, but typically you can expect low to mid 30s from him as well. But I think it's Murray and Poeltl that really stand out.
Derek White, 6,200 on DraftKings, a crisp 7,800 on FanDuel. Yeah. 14% owned is what we are claiming. I hope all 14% of those people enjoy that Derek White at 7,800 because holy hell, is that a terrible price. So the guy popping up the most for me as an interesting option is Lonnie Walker, shooting guard, small forward. He can play anywhere from 18 to 30 minutes today. So, tailor-made for GPPs. Can we do anything? What do you mean, can he?
I mean, I
played 30 minutes 2 games ago. He played 19 yesterday.
Well, yeah, I was questioning more the 30 minute part.
He did it on the 4th.
Yeah,
back to back games of that range that I just dictated.
He's just been playing a lot less than I expect in general, but you're right. He did play 32 games ago.
Yeah. Do I think that that's like a likely ceiling? No, I think like 28 is probably that, but I don't trust this team at all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on Walker. I just, he's more often than not in spots where I expected him to play like mid-20s, been playing like high teens.
I gave him 23. Like, it's not like I'm taking some sort of minute stand here. Can you look at Kade Bates, Diop, Bryn Forbes, Thad Young / Drew Eubanks, Trey Jones, Josh Primo? Is there anything there for any of those guys?
I don't hate taking a shot at $3,300 Thad Young, assuming he's getting no ownership.
8%.
Yeah, I mean, just he only played the first half yesterday, but that was also against Golden State. They didn't use a backup center in the second half. It was
Pirtle. They went to Eubanks.
What?
They went to Eubanks.
Not according to the popcorn machine.
Well, he played 8 minutes.
No, I'm looking at the fourth. Never mind.
Okay. I'm right. You're also right, though. Thad played the first half. Drew Eubanks played the second half.
Yeah, no. So I knew Thad had played the first half, but then when I was looking at the second half rotation, I was looking at the Golden State game from 2 games ago. Where Eubanks didn't play because Thad Young played. So, yeah, okay, never mind.
I'm at a point now where I'm like 99% sure that whatever minutes I have in front of my face are always right. So whenever you're just like, well, popcorn machine is just like, okay, this is a day where popcorn machine's wrong for sure.
Yeah, no, this is a day where I was just looking at the wrong popcorn machine. But yeah, so I mean, it's kind of like Thad Young could play 16 minutes and be good, but probably won't. Probably won't play 16 minutes. Probably would be good if he did. But yeah, there's not a whole lot else there. Do we have any update on Vassell?
I mean, it was, you know, he's missed what? He's missed 4 out of his last 5. He tried to play on the second, got 10 minutes, had to come out of it, didn't play the front end of this back-to-back. It just doesn't seem reasonable that he's playing today. We're not going to know any of this until closer to lock, just because they're on the back-to-back and they won't even have a shoot-around today.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, this, we're talking about this assuming Vassell was out.
I am treating it like he is not playing today.
Okay, yeah. Because if he's in, then it makes everything muddier for Walker and... Like, I wouldn't even bother taking a shot at Thad Young if Vassell was in. So it does change stuff like that. And to your question about, you know, even looking at guys like Forbes and Trey Jones and all these guys, if Vassell is in, the answer is just a flat no. If he's out, the answer is still, like, probably not. And if you do, just, like, mentally cross off that lineup and assume it's not going to cash. And then, you know, be pleasantly surprised if somehow it does. But he does have a big impact on these minutes.
Is there anything else we need to touch on here for San Antonio?
I don't think so. Murray and Pirtle look like the DraftKings priorities for me.
All righty. 550 people in here, 105 likes. That's not going to be enough, guys. Hit that thumbs up. Let's run that number up a little bit higher. Help us out here. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell. We're always looking for more subs. More subs, more likes we get on these videos, the more content we're able to bring you guys. That should be the goal across the board. We close it out.
If Toppin starts, would you bump Thad Young minutes? One, I don't know how Toppin would possibly start. Yeah, he could, I guess, somehow. But the second answer would be no, because I don't think Pop is going deep into his bench to match up with Obi Toppin.
No. Yeah, that's – there are a lot of things wrong with that entire question.
Like, if Toppin starts, he's starting, what, like the 3?
Toppin starts, he's starting at the 4 because they moved Julius Randle to the 5.
But I'm saying, like, they are going, it would be really weird if they didn't start Robinson or Noel and Randle is starting. So my point was, like, one of those guys is playing the 3.
Yeah, I mean, like, none of that makes any sense. I'd be shocked. Obi Toppin is going to get beat like a drum if he tries to play the 3 in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. I was kind of just pointing out, like, how the hell does Obi Toppin get in the starting lineup?
Yeah, no, he does. He goes to the G League. The Boston Celtics are 2.5-point dogs in LA, 217 total. We do not yet know the status of Jaylen Brown. My assumption as of right now is that he is playing. Al Horford is in. Romeo Langford is in. Mileage may vary on the Jaylen Brown take. He does not have to play today, but I am going with the assumption that he is playing. We've got Jason Tatum, around 33% owned across both sites. We've got Marcus Smart, 46% owned on FanDuel, 25% on DraftKings. We've got Dennis Schroeder, 54% owned on FanDuel, which I agree with, 21% on DraftKings. Just so you know, Schroeder is 5,200 on FanDuel, 6,400 on DK. What stands out most to you from the Boston Celtics?
So I have Brown out right now, but
okay.
If he's in, it just makes everybody look worse across the board. Tatum at 9,400, like, he looks fine at that price if Brown is in, but obviously he looks a hell of a lot better if Brown is out. Schroeder at 6,400 becomes pretty difficult to get to if Brown is in. Looks like a solid option if Brown is out. 5,200 on FanDuel is playable even if Brown is in, but he just looks like kind of a can't miss play if Brown is out. So those two guys are really heavily affected. Marcus Smart is, I think, a little bit less affected in the sense that he's going to get his minutes regardless, and he's probably not going to be that involved offensively regardless. But the fact that he's on the floor for so many minutes still means that he has a path to success at 6K. But I think that's the case with or without Jaylen Brown. As far as the front court goes, I don't really see anything that stands out one way or the other. Horford and Williams both should be in. Typically, they cut into each other's production. Horford's not cheap. He's 7,100. Williams' salary came up a little bit to 5,800. So I have a hard time getting to either one of those guys, regardless of what Jaylen Brown does.
Jaylen Brown, by the way, 7K on FanDuel today, 8,500 on DraftKings. So if Jaylen Brown is in, that's a problematic price.
Yeah, that's like that. That's he's priced to be limited to like what, 28 minutes or something.
Yeah, I gave him 30. I don't really know what to do with that. Here's the blurb from Jay King. Tuesday's game is the first of a back-to-back, so they do play tomorrow. You know, it's a hamstring tightness thing. Like, if he doesn't feel it, then he's gonna play. If he does, then he's not. Is there anything that you would do specifically building your lineups for tonight to take account of that news?
I think I lean
will you build with him in?
I think I'm leaning towards building with him out.
Okay.
Because I kind of in spots like this where I know it's going to be sort of very difficult to late swap because there's only this one game. I kind of think about like what's the one thing to think about is like which way gives you a higher like ceiling. And that would be projecting Brown out and Brown sitting, because then you just have access to all these players that you would really like to have. But also, like, what's the worst case? If I project Brown in, I probably just don't get to a lot of this game in general. If I project Brown in and he plays, okay, whatever, fine. There's still a chance that somebody from this game goes off, and I probably just don't really have much of them. But if I project Brown in and he doesn't play, I'm in a pretty bad spot because the Celtics are in a good matchup playing without Jaylen Brown at reasonable price tags. If I project Brown out and he doesn't play, then great. You know, like, I got all these guys. If I project him out and he does play, I'm still not really in that bad of a spot. I just have some mediocre options, but it's not like I missed out on a bunch of stuff I loved from the early game either, because that stuff didn't really exist either. So the way I view it is kind of just like the easiest path to success for me, if he is still questionable going into lock, is to assume he doesn't play, get to the Celtics. And then if he does play, just realize that my teams don't project quite as well, but they still have a chance.
I actually think this is a tale of two different sites. I think on DraftKings, you project him out because he's 8,500 and you would like to get to the other pieces. And then If he happens to get ruled in, he's not going to look like all that great of a play one way or the other. So then you already have those pieces. You could at least shuffle your chairs. On FanDuel, where he's shooting guard, small forward, and 7K, I want to have him in my lineups to start. And if he happens to get ruled out, then I can very easily have moves to Marcus Smart, to Dennis Schroeder, to other options, whether it's just on Boston or potentially to more Lakers guys. So I think I'm more likely to project him in on FanDuel and out on DraftKings, which if you're a two-site player is not like a super easy thing to manage. But if you're playing one or the other, I think it's a little bit easier to go to want to have him in on FanDuel because of his price.
Yeah, I think that makes sense as well. One other thing also, and this is where I potentially can get in some trouble on DraftKings, but I also think it potentially like wins you a tournament. We kind of, like, we were talking about Dorian Finney-Smith, we were just kind of saying how there's no value. If Jaylen Brown sits, Josh Richardson is 3,500. Enes Freedom is 3,400.
Yeah, good work.
Grant Williams is 3,700. Not that he would likely be good anyway, but the point being, like, there is some cheap value here that potentially looks good if Brown is out. Now, the issue is, you know, there, if Brown plays, you can really get in trouble because they are just pretty likely to suck. But those guys could be pretty useful pieces that maybe go a little bit under-owned if we're still waiting on Brown news.
Okay. Anything else here for Boston?
No.
Antoine says Richardson is the best value on the slate. If you've ever wanted to know who's not the best value on the slate, read that right now. Straight I mean, hot takes.
Problem. If we knew Richardson was going to play 30 minutes, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. And I think it's likely he gets 28 to 30, but he also played 17 minutes in the last game.
Yeah. Look, I have Brown in 24 minutes for Josh Richardson, who's a terrible fantasy point per minute guy. Like, he is a value play. That I agree with. And if he's 7% owned, even if Jaylen Brown is in, I think that he's a better value play than that. But Antoine Murphy has no idea what he's talking about right now. None.
I mean, I think he's one of the best value plays.
Assuming Jaylen Brown is out.
Yeah, and if he's in, it's just kind of whatever.
Right, yeah.
He's at, I mean, he's at 0.7 DraftKings points per minute this year. He's likely to give you like 28 minutes or so if Brown sits.
Yeah. Oh, if Brown is out, it's a very, very different discussion. He's also 4,500 on FanDuel, and I don't want that.
Yeah, he's 3,400 on DraftKings.
Yeah.
10 games without Brown this year, 26.4 minutes per game, 0.71 DraftKings points per minute for Richardson.
Yeah.
How many minutes do you think Cantor Freedom plays now?
It's Enos Freedom. He didn't take his last name as his first name.
I read that as Cantor slash. I was saying Cantor slash Freedom.
Oh, okay. I thought you were acting like he dropped the Enos part.
No, I'm aware he kept his first name.
I don't know, man. Anywhere from none to fucking 20. Like,
yeah, I mean, Robert Williams was in huge foul trouble last game, which is why you got 22 minutes from him.
Yeah.
It's just, it matters because
it's a good it's a good game for him.
Yeah. And it just, it matters because of the slate size too. He's such a good per minute fantasy producer that if he just finds a way into 16 to 18 minutes, he ends up looking like a really good value as well.
The Celtics are just so unfrequently at full strength that, like, I just don't know. He could not be in the rotation at all today or play 20 minutes. And I think both of those are like realistic scenarios.
Right. I mean, because last game Horford was out too. So you had Horford out and you had Williams in foul trouble. The game before that, you had Horford in. Williams only played 15 minutes. Enes Freedom played 3.
Right.
And that was against Utah with Gobert and Whiteside.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure.
I would lean towards him not playing a lot.
Yeah.
But
I would rather project him in than Romeo Langford in. For like a chunk of time or Aaron like Smith or whatever.
Yeah, it just kind of comes back to, and this is more 150 max strategy than anything, like just don't play him in single entry or three max. But the knowing that there's a very good chance you're taking a zero from him, you still have like, and this is assuming he's very low owned. If he just somehow is in the rotation, which I don't think is super likely, but if he is, it pays off really, really well. And it doesn't need to happen all that often. Someone like Romeo Langford, I don't want to speak into existence the Romeo Langford ceiling game, but if he's in the rotation and plays, it probably just doesn't matter for you anyway.
Yep. Rank the Lakers. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook.
It's pretty much always Davis, James, Westbrook for me.
LeBron James, 26% owned at 9,900. AD, 14% owned at 10,200. Russ, 8% owned. I mean, I definitely want to get to more AD than LeBron when LeBron's doubling up his ownership too.
Yeah, LeBron has.
Although 9,900 is a nice price tag for point guard, small forward.
Yeah, I'll say LeBron has. They all have decent prices, but LeBron has the best positional eligibility.
How much Dwight Howard are you looking to get to at 3,800 today?
I meant to pull up the last game and totally forgot.
Played 21 minutes coming off of 35 the previous game, but that was with no LeBron.
Right, so he did pretty much what we expected. If you're going to get 20 to 22 minutes from Howard at 3,800, I think he looks like a good value. He's a little over a fantasy point per minute guy, just not quite as expensive as he should be.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The real question then is, what other pieces from the Lakers are you willing to get to? We're getting 16% ownership to Malik Monk, 12 to Talen Horton-Tucker, very little elsewhere, and we do have a questionable tag on Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, so Horton-Tucker at 5K, I think, looks okay. Monk at 4,400 looks okay. Neither one's a priority for me, but they both, you know, could have success here. Last game, you got 27.7 minutes from Horton-Tucker. He didn't close. Malik Monk got hot in the fourth quarter, played the entire fourth, ended up playing 29 minutes. I feel more comfortable going to Horton-Tucker. just because I think you're getting at least 26 to 28 minutes pretty much every game. Monk, I think you're getting some games where he plays like 20. But, you know, because if he doesn't get hot in the fourth quarter, does he close that out, or do they go to, you know, one of any number of guys? Could have been Horton Tucker. So I do feel better about Horton Tucker, but I do think at 4,400, there's still a path for Monk to have success. Horton Tucker also has guard and forward eligibility on DraftKings.
Any interest in flat 3K Avery Bradley?
No.
Okay. It's not fun.
Is he, I mean, wasn't he available last game and just didn't play?
I think he's injured or was injured.
I know for sure he was available.
So
he was injured and then he was available.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Everything that I've read about him is that they love him. I'm shocked to see him not be in the rotation if he can be. I am projecting him in the rotation for today.
Even if he is, I think he probably just plays like 16 minutes or something.
Yeah, I don't think he's all that interesting. All right, sum it up. Favorite plays on the slate?
Luka. Now that we sorted that out, Luka, I like Davis. I like Jason Tatum because he looks, I think, like, if you don't get news on Brown, you're just going to get some sort of ownership discount on Tatum. I'm not saying he's going to be low owned necessarily, but it's just going to be lower than it would be if we get the Brown news early. So I like that because there just is the potential for it to look really good later. Porzingis looks good. I think that Aldridge / Poeltl look like solid center options. And then pay attention to the Knicks lineup because there's always the chance that we get Quickly or Rose starting, which would make them look really good.
The Blazers would be better if they ran their offense through Nurkic. The Blazers' first option on offense is a three. Good luck with that. If you ever come to the conclusion that the Blazers' best way to run their offense is to not run it through Damian Lillard, but to run it through Yusuf Nurkic, you've lost the plot. On that note, we got to get the hell out of here. Unless that statement is made assuming that Dame and CJ had to sit that particular game, that might work. But oh boy, do not run the offense through Nurk if you have Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I mean, if your backcourt's like McLemore and Dennis Smith Jr., I don't think that's a crazy take.
Yeah, that I agree with. Yes, for yesterday, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know, criticizing an offense because your first option is a three. I'm just assuming haven't seen a basketball game in the last decade.
Yeah, it must have been really terrible for the Cavs and LeBron James for those first 10 years. So injury video coming up a little bit later. Deeper dive at 5:30, correct?
Yep.
There it is, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. Shout out to No House Advantage one last time for being the presenting sponsor of this video. Hit that like button if you haven't done it yet. Subscribe to the channel, notification bell. We got a ton of content all day. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you're watching an NFL strategy show coming up next. Good luck tonight, everybody.